This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, joined by Dashran Johan and Lim Su Ann. So a couple of stories for you today, as always. So in our first story, if you're a Facebook user in Malaysia this week in particular, you would have seen a flood of cartoon versions of your friends taking over your newsfeed. So the social media giant's new feature allows you to make your own avatar, a cartoon-like version of yourself, similar to Apple's Memoji and Snapchat's Bitmoji feature. So we're going to explore how and why avatars have become so popular in the virtual world.
Yeah, and in our second story, political parties on both sides of the divide have amped up their campaigning efforts by putting up eye-catching posters and billboards all across Sabah on the road to the Sabah state elections. Now, what's fascinating is that Perikatan Nasional and Warisan appear to be using different methods and styles to package their messages on their respective campaign materials. So we're going to be exploring the effectiveness of each method.
And as always, we have a Twitter poll going, and today it's in relation to our first story. So we're asking you if you've made an avatar of yourself online. So your options are yes, no, or you might ask, what is an avatar? So you can take that poll or tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio on Twitter, or you can also WhatsApp us. The number is 018-789-8899.
That's right. And the reason we're asking that is because, you know, any Malaysian Facebook user would no doubt have been greeted by cartoon versions of their friends on their feed this past week, as the feature was finally rolled out for users in this region. And called avatars, they are basically a personalized graphical illustration that represents a computer user or a character or alter ego that represents that particular user.
And an avatar can be represented either in a three-dimensional form, for example, in games or virtual worlds, or in a two-dimensional form as an icon in internet forums and virtual worlds. So avatars are used widely on websites and in online role-playing games. They are an integral part of the internet, of internet chat, internet messaging systems, blogs, and artificial intelligence, particularly when it comes to virtual reality. And as we mentioned earlier, you might have already seen versions of them in Apple's Memoji and Snapchat's Bitmoji features, and not to mention numerous role-playing games.
So in their press release, Facebook wrote that, and I quote, "Avatars will allow you to create a digital persona that's uniquely representative of you and will enable you to share a range of emotions and expressions in a fun and personalized way. And you'll also be able to share a range of emotions and expressions via stickers in comments, messengers, and stories that are uniquely representative of you." So Facebook had already launched the avatar feature in the US back in May this year, but it only finally reached our shores in the past week.
Yes, and the process to create a Facebook avatar is pretty simple enough, though the creation of your avatar can only be made on your phone. So you would have to download the Facebook app to create it. Haha, catch there. And when creating your avatar, you can choose your skin tone, you know, facial features, hair, body type, outfits, and other features to make them look more like you. And you can then use this personalized emoji to, you know, as you mentioned, Sue Ann, comment on posts, you know, respond to messages, and create stories. So the sheer number of friends and contacts who went through this process of creating this cartoon version of themselves really got me thinking about, you know, the rise of avatars online and why it's become so incredibly popular, you know, is basically what we want to explore today.
And the word avatar itself originates in Hinduism, where it refers to the god descending to the earth in mortal form. So in Hindu theology, Vishnu assumes various earthbound avatars, among them a fish, a tortoise, a half-man, half-lion, and in an effort to restore order at times when humanity has descended into chaos. So according to an article in the New York Times, the technological use of avatar emerged via a spontaneous burst of coinages in the late 1980s and early 90s at the dawn of personal computing. So it appeared in the video game Ultima 4 Quest of the Avatar in 1985, the dial-up computer community habitat in 1986, the tabletop role-playing game Shadowrun in 1989, and Neil Stephenson's breakout novel Snow Crash in 1992. And this novel is about a futuristic, anarcho-capitalist Los Angeles in which people projected themselves into a virtual public square called the Metaverse.
There's so much to digest there.
I know.
But for socially marginalized science fiction fans and computer geeks, you know, the virtual world could help people enjoy a level of social status status and acceptance that they lacked at home. So using a computer granted them a level of godlike power because they had skills most people lacked. And in advertisements for Habitat, the early online community was built as a place full of drama and adventure, where each user could seize the rare opportunity to reflect his real self-image from toe to head. A player could literally snap off his avatar's head and pop a new one on. And in the early days, you know, the technological co-opting of the word replicated the power dynamic in the original avatar myth. So the avatar helps a higher being interact with a lesser realm, one he or she controls, but it also retained the idea of the avatar's task of delivering righteousness to a lawless world.
Yes, and Richard Garriott, the creator of the Ultima games, he said in that same article in New York Times that we quoted, that he came across the Hindu concept while looking for a way to encourage moral behavior in gaming. So he was very disturbed by players who took the easiest possible route to win a game. So he started framing his hero as an avatar instead of just a mere character. And he served players with a personality test to sort of imbue the avatar with the player's own attributes and build elements of personal accountability into the gameplay, really taking this very seriously. But as the internet grew in popularity, it also became the standard term for a simple image that accompanied the screen name in a chat room or discussion groups. And in discrete gaming worlds, value systems were strangely authentic. You know, everyone was building his or her sort of mini-me in the same system, but playing by the same rules. And, you know, now, of course, avatars have just become the way that many people navigate and communicate in cyberspace. So not really being gamers ourselves, we wanted to find out more about the use of avatars in the virtual world. So joining us now in the studio is Najman Maliki, BFM's very own web developer and a gamer. So welcome, Najman. Thank you so much for joining us today. So, you know, just to get, you know, right to it, confession time, did you create a Facebook avatar of yourself?
Ooh, confession time? I haven't created my Facebook avatar yet because I'm not really on Facebook now. I haven't opened up the app in ages. So.
Okay, but what about on other platforms?
Do I have an avatar? I mean, definitely in games. Yeah, definitely in games.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about, you know, some of the avatars that you've created for yourself.
Well, I do have an iPad and I do have a Memoji, I guess. Yeah. And on my Pixel phone, I have my avatar. I try to keep it as me as I can, but also, I mean, you got to tweak some things. Although I have to say that I don't really use it, so yeah.
You can add some muscles to the body.
Hey, I reduce some muscles because I'm too muscular.
So I guess, you know, the question is, why do you think avatars have become so popular? You know, why do some people prefer to represent themselves with avatars, you know, compared to, you know, photographs of their actual selves, for example?
I think it goes back to, like, how we usually communicate on text, or rather how it has evolved. So I think back in, like, the day when we all used 3310s on Nokia, we used, like, smileys and stuff that kind of evolved into, like, emojis, and I think emojis are like what people use to communicate nowadays in text. Mm-hmm. And to suddenly then add your real face to that just feels weird. You can't do like mind blown, like literally your head exploding, right? Yeah. So it's a lot better with like avatars. It just helps you communicate, I guess, on the same level frequency and keeping your true self-ish in it.
Mm. Yeah. But then do you think that avatars have become the way many people navigate and communicate on cyberspace?
I don't think so, though. I think it was back in like 2015 or something, back when Snapchat is like super cool. Mm. I do think Facebook is super duper late to the game, yeah.
Mm, because, you know, all these others have actually been using it for ages already, right? Mm. Facebook just... Any reason, any idea why they're so late to the game?
I think, so being companies like Facebook and Google, being tech giants, it's best for you to learn from other mistakes. Mistakes that other people make rather than you creating them. But you are also at the, I guess, peril of creating the mistake of being too late to the game. Lah.
Mm. Mm. And from what you've observed of online gaming communities, do users start to identify better with virtual communities?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Especially with online games, avatars, I guess that's your real you in online games. And it's the thing that people use, like, to the max, right? To try and depict how they feel best, or the, how they feel they should be represented best. So, like, you probably don't dye your hair green, but in online games, definitely you'd have, like, green hair and stuff, right? So, yeah, it's yeah, probably the way they can communicate best.
So do you think then that operating as an avatar can be deceptive? You know, does it actually afford you a certain kind of omnipresence or power, or, you know, this certain sort of anonymity that, you know, you don't necessarily have in real life?
No, I don't think so. Personally, I think it's very much, especially because I game a lot, right? I do see a lot of people presenting themselves in a very different way than I know them, like, in real life. And I think that's very... for lack of a better word, empowering, because it's just you in a different form. It's not really saying that that's not you, I think, in my personal view at least.
But I'm still trying to understand what is so fascinating about it, right? Because if you look at certain games, like, people pay loads of money, real money, to, you know, upgrade their avatar, to wear certain costumes, to do their hairstyles, to all these kinds of things, when it's not you doing to yourself, right? It's not your hair in real life. Mm. So what is this obsession, or why is it so fascinating that people are willing to spend real money on it?
Yeah, personally, I really think that they feel super attached. Rather, that is like that an extension of themselves, much like how people actually go to salons to just like get a 100 ringgit haircut, get their hair dyed for like 300 ringgit or so, whatever. That is like the equivalent of that on the digital space. So some people, I just don't feel like I want to get a 45 ringgit haircut, but I do feel like I want to spend 45 ringgit on that helmet. Yeah, kind of thing.
So,
you know?
So it really gives people a lot more freedom to try new things that perhaps you might not be willing to do to yourself in real life.
Exactly. I guess, you know, another way of looking at it, you're just like taking that money that you're not spending in real life so that you can actually look good in... another life.
I mean, because perhaps, you know, you have a job which doesn't allow you to have green hair, for example,
exactly.
Or a mohawk or whatever it is. Obviously, I'm so old, I'm giving such dated references here. But
I would prefer flat tops, but
And, you know, there's research to suggest that people can predict, actually, you know, the personality of someone based on their online avatar, even when it's an anonymous set of characteristics. Would you agree with that?
I guess to a certain extent, yeah. But also, I would not, I mean, like, I'm not a researcher, so I would try very likely on my end to judge people based on, don't judge a person by the avatar, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's the new saying.
Okay, so do you think that with the rise of social distancing, so too comes the rise of online avatar?
I think it's, personally, I don't think so. Personally, I think it's a huge gimmick. Like, you know how Apple updates their Memojis with, like, face masks and stuff. I think it's, I guess, to look at it in a good way, it's a good campaign to just, like get people on avatars so that you get to do social distancing. I do think it's a huge gimmick. I know a lot of people just do straight-up Zoom calls, right? Which is a lot better. I do feel like avatars slowly going out of fashion, but maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Are you sure? I mean, just look at Facebook, you know. I think every other friend of mine was so excited by it, you know. And like, okay, like, maybe I'm the curmudgeon. I couldn't understand it, right? But that fascination with seeing yourself in a cartoon form, I still can't quite fathom it.
Yeah, I think I would be very interested to see how this works out 6 months down the road to see if people are still very much excited and still actively using it. I do understand the excitement. It's like, I guess, seeing yourself in a mirror, but in a different light, sometimes better light. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do understand the excitement, though.
So no Facebook avatar of you lah anywhere? We can't quite catch one.
Oh, I can't say. I can't say that for certain. I can neither confirm nor deny that I will have a Facebook avatar.
All right. Thank you so much, Najman, for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
So that was Najman Maliki, BFM's very own web developer. And, you know, do you guys have... avatars of yourself online? I'm very curious to know.
Not the Facebook one, because I tried it for a bit.
And then after that, I realized that the Facebook one is like quite complex. Not complex, that there's lots of steps. So there's loads of changes you can make, loads of minor changes, which I guess is a good thing. But then I got lazy afterwards.
So you did try though. You were very intrigued by it. Okay.
Intrigued, yes.
I have very nicely stayed away from the Facebook one so far. I mean, I was very confused, I think, because it started over the weekend, I think, or perhaps over Wednesday. It sort of went totally ballistic. Every time I opened up Facebook, it was just another avatar. And it's both like fun and I've tried the Bitmoji one before. Mm-hmm. That lasted all of less than a week for me, I think, before I got a bit tired of like trying to find different versions of myself. But it was fun, you know, you sort of could do things like you made an emoji of yourself and then, or an avatar of yourself, and then sort of they can put you on like a skateboard, you can do like surfing ones, or you're like shopping, or you're like tired and lying on the floor. It's fun, but I don't know. I guess it depends on each person, right? And, you know, we were also running a poll on Twitter. We were asking if you've made an avatar of yourself online. Right now, the highest vote is no at 65%. 26% of you say yes, you have. But 9% of you are asking, what is an avatar?
So I was in that 9% for a long time. yes, I've never ever tried and I don't think I ever will. But I mean, you know, just from what I gauged from reading people's posts, it was just something fun to do. Mm. You know, it's like how we work with emojis, but this one has its own personal stamp, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of fun for people. I don't get it, but it was fun for people, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, avatars are just a similar tool in the arsenal of how we want to project ourselves online.
Yeah. You know, just we're all like sort of curating our own online personas, I suppose. Mm. Right. Yeah. And this is just something to add.
And I wonder, you know, why is so fascinating? Because these things, right, never last for a very long period.
No.
Like you said, it's a 1 week thing. When there's a new feature, everyone is so interested to look at how they would look like in a cartoon form. Mm. And I wonder it's because maybe, you know, I'm trying to think why I like it. It's because you're not exactly, it's not that it's scanning your face and, you know, coming up with something. So perhaps it's, you know, how we would like to see ourselves, or like the best version of ourselves that we have in our mind. And we just want to, you know, have that in front of us. I wonder if that could be, you know, what's so fascinating about it.
And we've seen so many iterations of it as well, you know, like, you know, one comes up and then after a few weeks it dies off, and then we have another one, and now we have the Facebook one. I guess especially now when people are sort of maybe stuck at home more, you're not sure what to do, you're scrolling on your phone, this is what you land on.
I know. Well, I mean, if you are listening and you've created an online avatar of yourself, tell us why you did it, or if you didn't, tell us why you didn't. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to leave you with Shanana and Those Magic Changes. You're tuned to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.